Good morning to each and every one of you. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here with you all again and see your faces. I think of Paul's words in the book of Philippians there. He says, "I thank my God for every remembrance of you." And so as I think of that, you know, there's lots of memories with you all here, and I thank God for those. They're a blessing to think back. You know, when Paul was thinking back to the Philippi's, he was thinking of preaching to Lydia. He was thinking of, that maid, demonic maid, walking to the riverside. He was thinking about sitting in the jail cell and the earthquake that came, and he could look back and say, "I thank God for every remembrance." So, it's a blessing to be here. We need wisdom in our day that we live in. And my mind, when Brother Barry was sharing there, went to a couple verses in Ezekiel chapter 33. I thought I would just read those couple verses there. God here, he's giving Ezekiel instructions to what to say to the people and to share the word with them. And Ezekiel 33, verse 29, God tells Ezekiel this, "Then shall they know that I am the Lord when I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what the word that cometh forth from the Lord." And so the people are listening to Ezekiel, "Come, come hear what the word's coming forth from the Lord." And this is what God says, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, they sit before thee as my people." That's what we're doing today. "They hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." So they're coming and they're saying, "I love the Lord," and they're doing all this thing, but they leave and their heart goes after where their heart truly is. And then he says, "And lo, thou art unto them a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not." They're coming to be entertained. A lot of people are doing that even in our day in church life. They come to be entertained. It makes their heart feel good for a little bit, but then they go after their covetousness, after what their heart really desires. Today is just Sunday is just church life's just a lovely song. Coming to hear someone play well on an instrument. But let's not be like that. This morning, before I start with the message the Lord has laid on my heart, why don't we rise and stretch our legs a little bit and have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you and we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for being here in our midst. And Father, we ask that you would just minister your word, that you would grant life to it, Lord, that you would give it unction, Father. We just beg this morning and that it would minister life to the hearts, Lord, and that it would inspire their hearts, that they wouldn't just go from hearing a lovely song today, but they would actually make application and do your word like we just read there in Ezekiel, Father. Not to come today to be entertained, but Lord, that there be reality, that there be unfeigned faith without hypocrisy. So Lord, we just invite your spirit to move in our midst. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I would just like to share on a verse in Jude verse 20 says, "But ye beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith." It's one verse, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. This morning, my heart's desire is to encourage you to have faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ, or like Jude says, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Most of us are familiar with building things, right? Building a house, building a pole barn, building mini barns, or building a website, building a customer base. And the list could go on and on. Building a fence, building something. We are all familiar with that. And when we start a project like that, or building a house, we anticipate the time when it comes that we are finished and it's complete and get it off of our mind, get it behind us, get it over with. I know when I build things, you know, there comes a time in the project when I'm just ready to get it done, move on to something else. But that's not the case here. It says building yourselves up in the most holy faith. It's a lifetime building. It's a lifetime thing. It's not something you do one time and then it's complete. And I'll describe it this building project this way. About a mile around the corner from where we live, when we moved in there, it's about 15 years ago. There's a neighbor, I don't really know him that well, but he has he was adding on to his house, and I thought, well, he's adding a room addition. But since then, I've come to realize before he finishes one project, he starts a little room addition on this side, then he jumps over to the other side and starts another little room addition. Before he's done with that, he'll jump outside somewhere and build a little unique building. And before he's done with that, he'll jump over here on the other side of the property somewhere and do something else. And then before you know it, he's adding on to the room addition he added on over here. And this place has come a maze. It's gigantic. But it has caused me to think, you know, this is what it looks like to build yourselves up in the most holy faith. He's still working on projects, and I'm thinking to myself, what's this place going to look like in the next 15 years? Because now he's out back digging a pond, you know, and he puts buildings, little unique things around there. He puts little pavilions here and there. He's continuously doing something. But that is a picture I give here to build yourselves up in the most holy faith. I don't recommend that type of building, but I'm using that illustration to build yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And Peter gives us a little example of this in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you want to turn there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, Peter says this, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." So here we see a bunch of little room additions you can add onto your life. You can add a little bit more faith. You can add a little bit more virtue. You can add a little bit more knowledge. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Or I look at my life, I have room for more of these things. I can continuously add to knowledge a little bit temperance, Some more patience, some more godliness, some more brotherly kindness, some more charity. These are all things that you can keep adding on, like the illustration that I just gave you of that house. You can put a little bit on here, you can put a little bit on here. You keep building yourself up in the most holy faith. We read verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." As you do that kind of building up your faith, Peter promises you're going to have a fruitful life. You're not going to have a barren life. You're going to be fruitful, he says. Now look at verse 9. "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." So if you're not building a little room addition here or there, you're going to become stagnant. You're going to become... And so it says, "But ye beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith." So you don't want to become, verse 9, stagnant. But you want to be fruitful. Verse 10, "Wherefore the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Some people may look at that, an entrance ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when you get to heaven. I don't believe that. I believe that that is for here and now. God wants to give you an entrance into the kingdom life of Jesus Christ, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, where you're experiencing the fullness of Jesus Christ today, here and now, and every day of your life. It says, if you do these things, you shall never fall. Never fall. And so, I just want to encourage you, add to your faith. Build yourselves up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We have some building going on here. It says Paul says this of the church at Thessalonica, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." Paul's thanking God for the brethren because he sees that he sees them building themselves up in the most holy faith. In fact, he says it's exceedingly. I look at this place around the corner from me, and it's exceeding, what's that? Everything that it makes your mind spin as you look into the place and see. It's exceeding. It's beyond normal. It's beyond average. But here's the Apostle Paul is saying, he watching the church at Thessalonica, and he sees their faith growing exceedingly. They were building themselves up. And so this morning, here, I'm going to hand out some papers here. A lot of times when I, put a material list together for building materials, to build a project, I just write it out on paper, but I thought these might be encouraging to you. I'm going to ask Stefan to hand them out. I thought I have around 30 or so copies here, so I'm hoping one per couple, and most of the young people should be able to go through them, some of these. Just hopefully we'll have enough. I think there should be some for the young men. Everyone, feel free to help yourselves. Jude also says that we should earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend means to be combatant. To contend. to contend about things. As we all know that, as Barry shared this morning, that things have a tendency to slip. The things of this life want to creep in and choke out the word and faith. They just have a tendency, there's just a natural tendency there to do that. And so, in the scriptures, faith is described as a very colorful and descriptive way, both positive and negative. And so, I'll wait till everyone has a list. I think James' boys up here didn't get any, did they? There's okay. Someone else? There's extra ones here. Anybody else like a copy? There's a few extra back here. Anybody else would like some? Joe back here would like more. You have more copies, John? Okay. Did you want one, Abram? I think. All right. So, like I shared, in the scriptures, faith is described in a very colorful and descriptive way, both positive and negative. And so we're just going to read down through some of these, and I'm going to comment on some of them as we go. The first 15 are what faith will do for me. We know that many professing Christians that this is as far as they go, what faith will do for me. But so I just want you to bear with me here, because after we get done with this 15 of them, there's 33 of them that I have written down. It's my responsibility with faith. As I was studying for this message, I realized everything that faith will do for me, but then it's almost double the responsibility, what my responsibility is with faith. And so the first one here is in Matthew. I'm not going to turn to all of these. Some of them I will in the scriptures. You're welcome to look them up later. Don't know if I have time to go through and read every scripture reference here. In Matthew 17:20, it says, faith as a grain of mustard seed will move mountains. This morning I was thinking of, I read a story of a missionary lady who was taking care of a bunch of children, and the children, and out behind their mission, they had a mountain and they could never see a sunrise. And the children were complaining about never seeing a sunrise. And so the missionary said, the Bible says that God will move mountains. Let's pray that God would move the mountain so that they could see that. And so they prayed and they prayed. And one day someone came to the door saying that they're bringing a road across somewhere, and that mountains, they're going to bring in earth movers and remove the mountain. And so God literally removed the mountain and strengthened the faith of these children. But I use that illustration that whatever mountains you face in life, they're not too big for God. God can remove them if He sees fit. And so that's one thing faith will do for you. It will move mountains. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And so, a sinner repents of his sins and cries out to God for forgiveness and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. At that moment, he or she is justified. by faith, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The next one is they're made righteous by faith. Our faith in the Lord, that person that just repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ is counted as righteous the moment they believe. Abraham believed God. Even God promised him a son. Abraham believed God, and it says he, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so when a wicked sinner repents, the moment they believe, God takes away their sinful heart and accounts righteousness to that person. You know, that's what faith does for a person. The next, number four there is sanctified by faith. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ sanctifies us, or at least it should. Many people it doesn't. It's a faith that's alive. It changes us from glory to glory into the same image of Jesus Christ. Sanctification is a lifetime process. It's a continuing. The next one, number five, purifying our hearts by faith. In Acts 15:9 and 1 John 3:3, as 1 John 3:3 says, every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. And so, number six there, by faith, I have peace with God. I remember before I was converted not having any peace with God. But when I repented, there's that peace that passeth all understanding, knowing that your sins, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ brings peace with God. There comes a rest. He giveth His beloved rest. He giveth His beloved sleep. And so, these are things that what faith will do for me. Next one, by faith I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 6:6 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And so, by faith, my old man is hanging on the cross with Jesus Christ, by faith. Number eight there, by faith I live. It's also Galatians 2:20. Paul says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Number nine there, by faith the old me is dead. Romans 6:8-11 talks about reckoning yourselves dead unto sin and alive unto Jesus Christ. Number 10, by faith I will never die. Jesus says there in John 11, he that believeth on me shall never die. And so, number 11 there, by faith overcomes the world. 1 John 5:4, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. It's by faith that we overcome the world. Let's just read those verses real quick in 1 John. I think it's good there. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? See, this is what true faith in Jesus Christ will do for you. It will help you overcome the world. Many people say they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but they live like the world, act like the world, live like the world, smell like the world, and do the things the world does, but yet they believe. But here is what true belief in Jesus Christ does. It says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus says, by their fruit you shall know them. And so someone's professing Jesus Christ, you're going to overcome the world. This is the result of what true evangelical faith will do in the life of the believer. Number 12, faith will save you. We have the account in Luke chapter 7, verse 50, where the woman is washing Jesus' feet with her tears and wiping His feet with her hair. And Jesus says, "Thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." So faith will save you. It will save you from... She was a wicked lady. The Pharisees were saying if He would know what kind of woman she is, He would not let her do what she's doing. But Jesus says her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And so faith will save you. No matter how wicked you've been, how bad you've been, true evangelical faith saves people from their sins. Number 13, faith brings assurance. Let's turn to Hebrews 10:22. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." And then also is going to read a verse in John chapter 7, verse 35. And so my heart today here is to give you a list of building materials that you can look back and be encouraged in the faith and in the days to come. Actually, it's John 7:38. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Number 14 there, faith will make you whole. Matthew 9:22. It's a woman with the issue of blood. She came and touched the hem of Jesus' garment and she was made whole. It was her faith that made her whole. And the leper also came to Jesus and Jesus also told him, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And so, number 15, faith opens doors. Faith opened doors. And I think, you know, many of you have seen that here. Faith has opened doors that no man can shut. Faith, moving forward in faith, faith opens doors. And sometimes we need to walk through them in faith. And so these are 15 things that faith will do for me. I'm sure there's more, but I'm going to move on to the next one here. Is my responsibility with faith. Number one, the scripture says in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." You cannot please God any other way except by faith. Everything you do, everything you endeavor to do needs to be done in faith. Paul says, "Whatsoever is not done in faith is sin." And so, God wants us to be a people of faith, and whatever we do, we do it by faith, not in doubt, not in fear, but knowing, trusting God. "I'm trusting you, God, by faith, moving forward. Without faith, it is impossible." It's impossible. And then, earnestly contend for the faith. I already shared on that one. The beginning is to be, it's combatant. Fight the good fight of faith. Goes with it. It's not a road of, flowers and roses. It's a fight. It's not just going to be handed to you. Number four there, walk by faith. We need to walk and we need to move forward. There's different voices that want to come in and say, "You have to do it this way," but the Word of God says something different than what you're hearing. And so we always need to go back to the Word of God. You know, you have many religions today. They say you got to do it this way. The Seventh Day say it this way. Jehovah Witness say you have to do it this way. And you can, the Muslims this way. But you You need to walk by faith in the Word of God. We have the Word of God that teaches us the way. Next one is having faith in His blood. Romans 3:25. I'm going to turn there and read that one quick. Very familiar verse. It says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And so there's no other way to have your sins forgiven than other than having faith in the blood of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no forgiveness outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. Next one is we stand by faith. We think we can attain favor with God any other way outside of faith. It's impossible. Romans 11:20 says this. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. We simply stand by faith. Next one is holding faith. Holding faith and a good conscience. A is strong in faith. The scripture says that Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He didn't doubt God's word that he was going to have a son. In fact, he praised God. If you'd have met Abraham that night, God told him, said, Abraham, are you going to have a son? His answer would have probably been, yes, God, look up at the stars. My children are going to be more in number than the stars. He gave glory to God. He didn't doubt. It says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He could have said, yes, my children are going to be more in number than the stars. And so we need that kind of faith. Next two are similar, taking the shield of faith and putting on the breastplate of faith. We have an enemy who wants to attack us, especially in our thoughts and minds, and we need to ward them off by faith. The Bible says, casting down every thought and every imagination, taking it under control of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 11, they're established in the faith. We shouldn't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, but rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. There's many winds of doctrines, but we have the Word of God, and we have faith in it, and it is where we come back to. We're established. We're not tossed over here with this storm, tossed over here yonder with that storm. The Bible talks about there's winds that are blowing, winds of doctrines. They're surrounding us. But we're established in the faith. We're rooted and grounded. We're like this big oak tree as we are established. Our roots are going deeper and deeper. More storms come. As I understand how trees work, the more the storms beat on the tree, the bigger it gets, the deeper its roots go down, and it anchors more and more that it can take these winds. I mean, it can even take a tornado, most trees, and it will just take the top off, but let the trunk on many of them, because the roots, it's not uprooting them, because the roots are in, they are established. And that's what God wants us, you and I, He wants us to be established in the faith. That, you know, if there's a wind of doctrine comes, it doesn't just uproot us and take us along downstream. And so, verse 12 there, building yourselves up in the most holy faith. It goes with the one. You're not just going to be blown over with everything that comes. 13, continue in the faith. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23, it says, "And you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you blameless, unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled." This is a responsibility of ours to continue. You know, you don't just get born again one time and you're good to go. You have to continue in the faith. Continue. Verse number 14, add to your faith. I already read that one. 15, ask in faith. God wants us as children to ask in faith. I know my children do this. They come to me and they ask for things, you know, and sometimes they say no, but sometimes I give them what they ask. But they come asking. They come with that glint in their eye, hoping that they're going to receive, you know. And God wants us to be like little children. 1 John 5, I'm going to read a couple verses there. Verses 14 and 15. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." And now this, and I want to clarify that. That's asking according to His will. That's not I'm asking for a mansion or some expensive vehicle. That's asking to the flesh. A lot of people take that, you know, ask in faith and God will give you whatever you will. No, it's according to His will. We need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and pray. And, you know, the Bible, that verse there, "But ye beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." You're in tune with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit of God. And you're not asking for your fleshly self, but you're asking because your heart beats with God. And you are wanting to see the kingdom of God advance. And so you are praying, asking, believing that you are going to receive because you're in tune with God's heart and what God wants. And so it's not just asking for some fleshly things. So ask in faith. The next one there, communicate your faith. Philemon 1:6. I'm going to turn there and read that real quick. It's a beautiful verse, "that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." It is God's heart that you would not just keep your faith in you, but it would you would be able to communicate it and to share it with others. The Scripture says in John 7:38, "He that believeth as the Scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." God don't want you just to give you faith to just for yourself. It is for the benefit of others to communicate it. Faith cometh by hearing. We're going to read that one a little bit later. Next one, verse number 17 there says, "having access by faith into the grace of God." By faith we have access into the grace of God. We need the grace of God for our lives. And by faith we have access. It's our responsibility to come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain help in the time of need. And so it's building material. We can obtain help by faith. Number 18 there, increase our faith. The apostles, they asked Jesus to increase their faith. What does that look like? That sounds like building, right? Increase our faith. You're adding another room addition. Sometimes when we ask the Lord to increase our faith, sometimes it's going through some trials. A lot of times, trials is what helps increase our faith. And so, number 19 there, faith groweth exceedingly. This sounds like building going on there. Number 20, staying steadfast in your faith. Again, rooted and grounded. Number 21, full of faith. There's Stephen there in the book of Acts, he was full of faith. When they were to choose the deacons there, they were says they were to look for men full of faith. Does that mean they didn't have any more room for another room addition? I don't believe so. I believe they were just in their present state. They were men of God, and as they walked with God, God would show them more. Number 22 there, it says that thy faith fail not. Jesus is praying for Peter there that his faith doesn't fail. And so, God doesn't want our faith to fail. 23, the just shall live by faith. 24, obedience of faith. Our responsibility to walk in obedience to the faith. 25, sound in faith. This is important. recently here we had a visitor show up in church, and he had some strange beliefs, you know, like, for example, you know, it wasn't very sound, or at least I didn't think so, and others didn't think so either. He had like the five foolish virgins, they're saved, but they're just not going to get any rewards. The Matthew 7, the Lord, Lord people, they're saved, but they're just not going to get any rewards. And the rich young ruler, he was saved by keeping Moses and the prophets and the law. And so I'm using that as an illustration. You know, the Bible talks about being sound in the faith. You know, does it line up with the Word of God? Sound in the faith. 26 here, faith that brings forth fruit. Let's read that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. Colossians chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. So they... verse 4, Paul heard of their faith in Christ Jesus, and faith brings forth fruit. And so, faith that doesn't bring forth fruit is not true evangelical faith. Now, number 27, hearing of faith. What am I taking into my ears? Am I hearing? Faith cometh by hearing. Am I hearing accounts of faith at work? Inspirations that build up my faith. Because what we take in will have an effect. Because our ears are the avenue of faith. Number 28, having confidence by the faith of Jesus. Number 29, perfect the things that are lacking in our life, in your faith. And Brother Barry touched on that this morning. God will use brothers and sisters to perfect your faith as you rub shoulders together. And I'd like to read that verse there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. God is using the Apostle Paul to perfect their faith. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. He says, night and day praying exceeding that ye might, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And so, it's our responsibility, as Barry was sharing, that we care for our brother enough that we are willing to rub shoulders and perfect each other in the faith. Perfect each other. Number 30 there, having prayers of faith. 31, examine whether you be in the faith. Sometimes it's good just for us to take an individual inventory. Examine my faith. What is coming out? Am I liking what I'm seeing? Is it match the Bible? Examine whether you be in the faith. It's our responsibility. Looking to Jesus, 32. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's our responsibility to continue to look to Him from whence life comes from. 33. Receiving the end of your faith. In the end, we'll receive the end of our faith. And then I have types of faith here. Also, precious faith. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 together here. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So is faith a precious thing to you? Is it precious, like we heard of wisdom this morning, to get it with all your understanding? Rich in faith. Is number 2 there is rich in faith. The poor, James says, the poor are rich in faith. The poor are trusting in God probably more than those who have everything they need at their fingertip and money. The joy of faith, the boldness of faith. Number 5, their boldness of faith. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're a pushover. You take the Anabaptists, for example. They were bold. They stood up to the rulers as they were being questioned. Just because a lot of people have this tendency, wrong concept. I'm not saying we're proud and arrogant, but we're not pushovers. We with boldness, we're able to share the gospel. We're able to confront sin. We're able to witness. It's a boldness of faith. Words of faith. Number 6 there. I'm going to read 1 Timothy 4:6 there. I'm going to read that one. 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So here, the scripture teaches us about being nourished up with words of faith and good doctrine. The next one, work of faith. The work of faith. I'm going to read that one also. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling, fulfill all the goodness of His, all the good pleasure of His goodness, and the work of faith with power. And so, work of faith with power. The trying of your faith. We all know that our faith gets tried. And those are the storms of life that come and make help your roots to go down deeper. As you gain experience and you trust God, your roots are going down deeper and it tries you. And then number 9 there, we have unity of faith. We are reading the same Bible and claim to have the same Holy Spirit. There should be a coming together to the unity of the faith, speaking the same things. Number 10 there, we have measure of faith. That comes in with the giftings. God gives some the gift of helps. God gives some the gift of exhortation. People have different measures. Some people's gifts are overflowing in one area. They have a measure. Their measure is just full. God sees them using it, and it's just overflowing. Others have a little bit in their cup in another area. But every person should have a measure of faith in the giftings. Number 11 there is weak in faith. Romans 14:1 says, to receive those who are weak in the faith, not to doubtful disputations. Number 12, unfeigned faith. Let's read those two examples there. One is in 2 Timothy. We have a good example. 2 Timothy 1:5. This is actually a bad example. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Then it says, from which some, having sworn, have turned aside unto vain jangling. And so unfeigned faith means to there's no hypocrisy in your faith. There is genuine, it's true. And then we turn over to 2 Timothy. We have Eunice and Lois, the mother and grandmother of Timothy. And Paul says they were true, genuine. They had unfeigned faith. And so that's where we need to be. Unfeigned faith is a type of faith. Glad tidings of your faith. Number 13 there. There's a good report of your faith. There's a report going about your faith that you have, what you have is true. Number 14 there is faith that can be seen. Jesus there gives those accounts there in Matthew 9:2 and Mark 2:5 of the centurion and the Syrophoenician lady. They were all Gentiles. He says, I never seen such great faith. Can people say that about you? And then we have little faith there, number 15. And then moving on, we have negative words attached to faith. He says here, number 1, not all men have faith. In fact, if you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, which we're right there, verse 3-5, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. These men have not faith. And the scripture warns, not all men have faith. And so we need to have discernment. Luke chapter 8 there, Jesus asks, where is your faith? Then there's no faith. Number 4, you turn away from the faith. Number 5, depart from the faith. 6, denied the faith. Cast off the faith. Will Jesus find faith? Erred from the faith. Overthrow the faith of some. Faith shipwreck. Faith is made void. Vain faith. These are all terms in the scripture in a negative attachment. And so that's the end of the list there. But I want to continue here. But I just thought this might be helpful to someone to write all these out. These are different aspects of faith that are in the scripture. And I pray that you can take it home and do your own research and study on it and be blessed. I know I have been. But my next question is, faith in what? Faith in what? Faith in what? Faith always has a person or thing or an object that faith is directed towards. For example, I would never step a foot inside an airplane if I wouldn't have faith that's going to hold me up in the air. When I step into that thing, I have faith in that. Many people have faith towards the president. He's going to make America great again. Faith always has an object. Example, how many of you do grocery shopping? If you walk up to the shelf on the grocery store, you grab the package, you read the label. Now, you have faith that what it's saying, that cereal or Cheerios on the package, that's what's in it. Or do you open it up and have to see first? See, we all express faith to a degree in everything we do in our daily life. You do it every time you go to a grocery store. You don't open up the box. You don't open up the package and look in, make sure. You express faith that what the package is saying, that it's that is a product that's in there. And so you have faith in that label. You have faith in that what it's showing on the box, that it is in there. And so our faith always needs what is a person or object that my faith needs to be in so that I can build myself up in my most holy faith. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 21. Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 21. Here Paul's giving a charge to the elders at Ephesus. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. There's our object of faith. Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus, His message and who He is. He's the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Even more yet, my personal Savior. Faith that He has saved me. Faith that He has forgiven me. Faith that He has cleansed me from my sins. He is our only hope. He is the only way. He is the truth and the life. There's no other way. Faith that He is the all in all. That there is no other way. In John 8, verse 24, Jesus says these words, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. If you don't believe that He is the all in all and the only way, Jesus says you will die in your sins. Our faith needs to be in Him, that He is my sacrifice for my sin. He is my high priest. He's making intercession at the right hand of God. Jesus is the only way to God. He's my only access to God. So Jesus Christ is the person that I need to have faith towards. And then faith in His Word. Faith in what He has spoken with in His Word, in His message. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4 to illustrate that. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Here, Jesus was speaking to the people, and they are leaving the people here. And the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. So here we have, my Bible has it in red here, let us pass over unto the other side. Jesus spoke these words. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Here's our negative, no faith. And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And so, Jesus, they were getting in the ship. Jesus says, Let us pass over to the other side. Now, they had a word from the Lord. Jesus says, We're going to get in the ship, go on the other side. Jesus, he says that, he crawls in the ship, lays his head on a pillow, and goes to sleep. But they didn't. They were, it says, they were fearful. They were in a turmoil. They were watching the storm. They were watching the wind. They were watching the waves. But see, all they, you know, they could have been perfectly at rest at heart, because Jesus already told him, we're going over to the other side. They could have just laid their head on a pillow too and slept with Jesus, and everything would have been well. In fact, he says, they don't have any faith. He says, you have no faith. And so, you know, we can look at that. They had a word from the Lord, but we have a word from the Lord today too. In all the promises, all His promises are yea and amen. But a lot of times we're tossing and turning in our minds, and doubtful and fears and everything else that comes with it, instead of simply trusting. The Apostle Peter says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And so we can, but Jesus is saying, peace, be still. Whatever your turmoil is, have faith in Me. I am in control of the storm of your life. I will take care of you. You're My child. We can trust Him. We don't need to be tossing and turning. Fear is a sign of no faith. Revelation 21:8 says, But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. The fearful, they're unbelieving. Fear, being fearful, is unbelieving. He says in another place, be not of a doubtful mind. We have the Word of God. And so these men, they could have just rested with Jesus, because okay, if they'd have truly believed Jesus, they could have rested and laid their heads on a pillow, because Jesus said, we're going over the other side. And so when we believe God, He says, we're going over the other side with Him. You know, that we can believe it. John 6:63 says, It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So Jesus spoke these words, they are spirit and they are life. But then in verse 64 He says, But there are some of you that believe not. Some of you believe not. And so it's important for us to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His message, His Word, and everything is at rest. Come what may, be peace, be still. There's no reason for turmoil in your heart. There's no reason. You know, no matter how great of a trial, we can be at peace. I know it's easy for a person to say when you're going, but I'm just trying to build your selves up in the most holy faith. Peace, be still. Acts 20, verse 32, And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. The word of God is able to build you up. Believing it, trusting it, obeying it. The word will build you up. It'll give you an inheritance. Do I believe that His word is sufficient and is able to build me up? The most holy faith, or do we turn to other books and self-helps and psychology and everything else? Do I believe that the Word of God is enough to build me up, or do I need all those others? Recently, I was talking to a Mormon man, and he claims to believe in Jesus, but also believes in the Book of Mormons. And I shared with him Hebrews 1:1, God, who in sundry times and diverse manners spake unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. And so we should hear Him. We should hear His Son, not other books, not other. Galatians says, if any man preach any other gospel than what we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so it's this word that is sufficient. This word is what's going to judge you and I on the day of judgment. And that Jesus says, the words I have spoken, they will judge you. And so we can come to this book, we can believe it and order our lives to it, and know that we will pass the test on the day of judgment. It's like this here. Say if I'm a teacher on the day of test, I come up and write all the answers on here. Say, I want you to pass the test, so I'm going to be very nice to you today, and I'm going to give you all the answers, 20 answers to your test today. And now you have a choice to believe me and use those, or you have a choice to go your own way and get different answers and fail the test. God has given you and I all the answers right here that we can pass the test. If we simply believe His Word, have faith in His Word, and walk in obedience of faith, like I shared earlier, He says that He judges no man, but the words that I have spoken, they will judge you. So if you're wondering how you're going to be judged on the day of judgment, get into the Word of God. This is how you're going to be judged. The Word's going to judge you. It's already spoken. He has already given you all the answers to the test, that you can ace the test. It's right here. So, He says here, And now, brethren, I commend you to the Word and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. This is what the Word will do. It'll give you an build you up and give you an inheritance. So, the Word of God is able to build you up. The problem we face today, the Bible talks about another Jesus. People fashion another Jesus in their mind that fits their lifestyle, instead of being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And so, people do that. They fashion another Jesus. And so they preach another Jesus. And so, it's important that we let, because when we read this word, it's going to bring death to self. It's going to bring death to sin. It's going to bring, but when people preach another Jesus, it lets the flesh alive and well and flourish. But when you let the Word of God, Word of His grace, which is able to build you up, it's going to bring death to self and flesh. It's going to build you up into the image of Jesus Christ. I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 here, just real quickly. Look at a few examples of men of faith. Hebrews 11, jump down to verse 32 here. And what shall I more say? For the time shall fail me to tell of Gideon. Here we have Gideon. God's telling him that he's going to destroy the Midianites here. And he wants a fleece. He's having dreams. God's showing him visions here of what to do. He had faith in God and His Word before all these things happened, and his faith was built up. We also have of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Can any of you children tell me who stopped the mouths of lions? Any children know who stopped the mouths of lions? Who is a man who stopped the mouth of lions?
Daniel.
That's right. Daniel stopped the mouths of lions. He spent a whole evening in the presence of an angel and the lions. But it was his, that happened because of his faith. Do you think his faith was built up after that? He had faith in God and his word before that happened. That happened after, it wasn't something that happened because of his faith, and his faith was built up. And then also, it says here, quenched the violence of fire. Any of you children know who quenched the violence of fire? I'll give you a hint. There were three men who quenched the violence of fire. That's right. They quenched the violence of fire. And we all know the story. They refused to bow to that idol. And the king gave them a second chance. And they bound them hand and foot and threw them in. And do you think their faith was built up after they came out and the king's walking up to smelling? There's even no smell of smoke on their clothes. I can't even smell smoke on their clothes. But that happened because of their faith out there. It wasn't, and so what I'm saying here, they had faith in God's word. Those things happened. Mark says these signs shall follow them that believe. Some of those things are the results of your faith. God sees you have faith before, and then some of those bigger results happen, and God wants to be glorified and magnified that the unbelievers may see that there is a living God. So can you imagine the king walking up to you, Micaiah, and smelling your clothes? I don't even smell smoke. And we all know what happened. He glorified God, the king did. He sent out a decree that everybody should honor those men's God. Can you imagine? It says, turn to flight the army of aliens. Imagine Elisha leading the whole army, strong, mighty men, blind as bats, into the whole city. That happened because he had faith in God. Do you think his faith was built up afterwards? It was. And so I just encourage each and every one of you today that my heart is to encourage you to have faith, because the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Abraham and Sarah, they had a word that they are going to have a child. And God counted it to them for righteousness. Trusting God for our needs, our healing. Faith as a mustard seed moves mountains. What's the mountain that I'm facing today? God is able to move it. I'm going to close with reading Jude verses 17 through 25. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God of our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and ever. Amen. So here we see, we have, but ye beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now verse 24 says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. As you put those together, they seem to be contradicting each other, but they're not. He's telling you, build yourself up, keep yourself in the love of God. And then it says, now He is able to keep you from falling. As you have faith in the Word of God, God is able to keep you from falling. Just like He did Daniel, just like He did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just like He did Elisha, just like He did many others throughout history. As they were expressing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God was able to keep them from falling. So, it's a blessing to be here with you all. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless you all.